Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the end of our short series of studies on the Christian as an ambassador. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we will be again reading in the 5th and 6th chapters of 2 Corinthians. The ambassadorship that is conferred upon us, we read in the 20th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, not as though God did beseech, as though rather God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is a high calling. It's a place of real responsibility. It's a liaison position to seek the goodwill of the country to whom we are sent. And in this country, the president selects the ambassadors. We are selected by the Lord Jesus, and Paul tells us we are ambassadors. Now, every ambassador has a portfolio. He has the instructions from his selecting president as to what he should accomplish, what is expected to accomplish in the relationships with the country to which he is sent. Now, this is our portfolio. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's our portfolio. That is the message of reconciliation. This is a matter of reconciliation. An ambassador is what we might call a reconciler. And here he is. He's in the foreign country, and he has that portfolio. This is what the president who sent him wants. And he has a portfolio. This is ours. This is how we reconcile the world to God with this message. If you please, where we read, now, for he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a message. Now in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see the urgency. Now is the day of salvation. God wants them reconciled now. The fields are white unto harvest, and we need to get to the dear unsaved while there is time. And then we are told in chapter 6 and verse 4, we read there, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, an ambassador is a minister. We are to approve ourselves as a minister in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings. You say, can you approve yourself as an ambassador for Christ in these? Yes, we prove ourselves by our reaction to the things that come upon us. And then we approve ourselves by the reactions, by the things that come from within us. Verse 6 and 7. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. These are Christian graces, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of the righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We approve ourselves in being righteous. Now, we wish to consider today particularly the fact that we are ambassadors and they are seen. These are the things that are true about us. Notice, please. By honor and dishonor. Now, we're going to read a whole list of paradoxes. You'll recognize them. By honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. These are true about us? Yes, they are. As deceivers, yet true. Is this true about us? As deceivers, yet true? Yes, it's true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Here are 9 paradoxes. The paradox is an arresting literary device. A paradox will make you sit up and take notice. A paradox is a seeming contradiction, and don't we jump on the contradictions? Certainly we do. We say, well, that's not true. But in each and every one of these paradoxes, there is an explanation why these seemingly opposite characteristics are true about us. And by these, just living the Christian life, by just realizing this and accepting it, we do indeed, approve ourselves as the ministers of God. Let's take these in detail, if you please. Let's think about honor and dishonor as it is seen in verse 8, by honor and dishonor. How is that true of a Christian? How can he, by honor and dishonor, he doesn't want to dishonor the Lord, does he? No, it doesn't mean that. It's honor from God and from his people. Do we get that? Yes, we do. They respect us. A Christian respects a Christian when he sees him. By dishonor from the world. Oh, the world has its evil reports. Well, we read in the very next paradox, by evil report and good report. Now, do we want an evil report said about us? We're going to have it. We approve ourselves as the ambassadors from God by the fact that we have an evil report. On the part of whom? Peter describes this in his epistle. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And we'll see this paradox explained. For the time past of our life may suffice to have wrought us to have wrought the will of God, or rather the will of the Gentiles. Let's read that again. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, in our unsaved days, of course, in our days when we fraternized with the world, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They say, what's the matter with that guy? He used to enjoy a beer with us. He used to enjoy tripping the light fantastic. He used to enjoy getting out and getting drunk. Has he gone high hat? What's the matter with him? Has he got a holier-than-thou attitude? And they speak evil of us. Now, this is what this means. Evil report and good report. But it's good report when we have, like the Apostle John had of his own son in the faith. And He commends him for the way that he's walking in God. And we do have a good report from Christians that do admire the Lord and want to see others live for him. Let's go on. As deceivers, yet true. Well, this is a paradox, isn't it? As deceivers, yet true. In what sense do we deceive? Well, I'll tell you, we tell the dear unsaved. Now, if you will accept Christ, all the doubts and troubles of your life, of your heart, will be quenched. You will have happiness, you will have peace, and you will have joy. We tell them that. We've got a right to tell them that. If they will put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for them on the cross, and will trust in him implicitly, they will have peace and they will have joy. But I'm telling you something else. When you tell the unsaved that, you don't tell them you're going to have a threefold enemy after you get saved, and the world isn't going to like you. We don't tell them that, do we? Why should we? They'll find it out. As deceivers, yet true. As unknown, and yet well known. And nobody in the world, but a blessing to fellow Christians. Yes, we're unknown, and yet we're well known. The unsaved are watching us, and we must approve ourselves as the ministers of God, as the ambassadors, which indeed we really are. Then, as dying, and behold, we live. Can you think of a greater paradox than that? As dying, and behold, we live. It's true. That's Paul, the Apostle Paul says in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 10 and 11. As always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live and are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our immortal life. In what sense is this paradox true? Dying, well, we die to ourselves. We die to the world, but we are alive unto God. Very much alive unto God. We've got new connections. We belong to a heavenly sphere. And certainly that's true of us, as dying and behold we live. As chastened and beaten, not killed. Who could speak of this better than the Apostle Paul? Read the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and see what this man went through to bring the gospel to others. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As sorrowful that others don't accept the gospel message, like Paul in the book of Romans, he says in the 9th chapter there, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish I were cursed from Christ, for my brethren and for my kinsmen according to the flesh. And he says in the next chapter, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that you might be saved. Oh, he longed for them to be saved. He was sorrowful. And yet he tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. And I might add again, rejoice in the Lord. Again I say rejoice. Now Paul is saying this to those Philippians. We can rejoice in the Lord, not in ourselves. Perhaps not in our circumstances, but we can certainly rejoice in the Lord, as poor, yet making many rich. I think of the time when the Apostle Peter went up to the temple, it's in the third chapter of Acts, and there was a man sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple. He was a cripple, and he looked up and he expected to receive some alms from Peter. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Rise up and walk. And the man walked and leaped. What do you think he'd rather have had? The silver or his body back again? And he praised the Lord. He knew where his blessing came from. And he clung to Peter. As poor, yet making many rich, there's an example of it. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. And we read that all things are ours in Christ Jesus. These things are true about us. They identify us. May we live Christ before the unsaved so that these paradoxes are true of us. Our Father, today we thank you for the high honor that you have conferred upon us, being ambassadors for Christ. And we pray that our lives may speak loudly to the people around us that we belong to the Lord. In Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.